Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to our conversation in the book of Philippians. This is one of those, it's the last chapter, so it's one of those chapters. It's the chapter, I think, John, with which people are most familiar.
I would agree with you. There are some great verses in here. Some verses people often claim for life verses.
Yeah, and when we say a life verse, you might be a new to the Bible or maybe new to Bible study. A life verse is nothing more special about that verse per se, other than a verse that's meaningful, a verse that maybe can be a guiding principle for your life. So sometimes people will choose a verse like, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, which is a verse in this passage.
Exactly right, yes.
So Philippians chapter 4, and remember, my friends, that the chapter divisions were supplied later on as reference points for us, and I'm glad because it helps us to find portions of the Bible more readily. But remember, the original letter written by the Apostle Paul would have just been a straight letter without divisions. And so we try to make chapter divisions at places where there would be a transition. And that's the case here in Philippians chapter 4. So let me just read a couple verses for us, and we'll jump right into it. Philippians 4 and verse 1, therefore, my brethren. So there's our transition word, therefore. Anytime, my friends, you see the word therefore in the Bible, you know that it's a teaching that's going to be based upon what's come before the word. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about our citizenship, which is not of this world, it's in heaven. So we're to live as people that are not, I think you brought out last episode, John, we're not to be earth dwellers. We're not to be home. We're not to be at home in this world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And so because we have a higher goal, because we have a more eternal context, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. That's the admonition, my dearly beloved. So talk to me, John, just a little bit about the verse.
Yeah, I love this verse in verse 1. We see the heart of Paul, how he loves the people here, all the words he has in here, dearly beloved, long for. We get the sense very quickly in this verse that the church at Philippi is one that Paul knows dearly. They are people who have supported him, who've loved him. He loves them. And he wants to give them some final admonitions in this last chapter. And I think as he begins verse 1, we see his heart, how much he cares about these people.
No doubt about it. And because he cares about them, his greatest desire for them is that they would be faithful to the Lord. Remember last episode, my friends, we talked about how the Apostle Paul was weeping about people that had been following the Lord, but now were enemies of the cross, and the flesh and the desires of this world had captured them. I think about Demas later on forsaking the Apostle Paul and how personally he took that. Demas hath forsaken me, he said to Timothy a little bit later on in his life. And so those relationships are they're key. And the Apostle Paul was so concerned about the people he loved standing fast in the Lord. And so talk to me just even about that, stand fast in the Lord. Because a lot of times we tell people, stand for Christ, but this is saying stand fast in the Lord.
Yeah, here Paul, he knows that in life we often are tempted to go away. In Christ, Christ has given us the liberty to do right. He's given us the liberty to make decisions that please and honor God, which before we could not have done that before we came to Christ. But now that we are children of God, we have decisions. We either have to make a decision to live for Christ and follow Christ in the great power and liberty that Christ gives us, or we can sink back into the old paths of sin that bring nothing but failure and nothing but heartache down the road. And so Paul loves these people. I envision here like a parent talking to a child that he just loves dearly, and he encourages that child to follow Jesus Christ and faithfully be in the place where Christ has placed him positionally and practically live that life out, because that is the only life that does not bring, you know, a heartache down the road. It is the only life that truly brings satisfaction in life.
So standing fast in the Lord would connote He's our focus. We're standing fast in Him. He's our resource. He's our strength. It's the only way by which we can be faithful is when we tap into His grace and His power. So the Apostle Paul is just helping believers to understand that as you have begun in the Lord, he said that to the Galatians, that we continue in the Lord the same way by relying upon His grace and strength day by day. And then to go back to one thing you said a couple minutes ago, John, and that is just the love that the Apostle Paul had for people, specifically for the Philippian believers. My joy and crown. And he would often reference the people with whom he had worked as his reward. And how different is that from modern ministry? When we look at reward as physical attainment or popularity or sometimes even financial remuneration, the Apostle Paul was never keen on those things. He was always saying, hey, what really brings me joy, what really brings value to my ministry is to see people that go on for God.
Yeah, I love Paul's heart here. What a often an exhortation to me to have the right mindset in ministry. You know, these people were his joy. They did bring great joy to him as he ministered in Jesus Christ with them. And then his crown, you know, they were the ones that were the great tribute to his ministry as an apostle. And we, as Pastor mentioned, we see this a number of times in Paul's epistles where he will talk about the people he has ministered to, the people whom God has used him to make a difference in their life. You know, they are the ones that are what Paul loves to see. Again, he was not in ministry for money. He was in it for a love for Christ, a love for people.
He refused to be dragged into the comparison game. So even in Corinth, when some of these highfalutin would-be apostles came in and tried to steal the affection of the Corinthian believers, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to get into this match of comparing ourselves among ourselves and measuring ourselves by ourselves. He did it tongue-in-cheek a bit. Hey, if you want to talk about it, you know, let me talk about what I've done. But the Apostle Paul said, no, at the end of the day, ye are our epistles, known and read of all men. He said to the Corinthians, I'm not going to write these fancy letters of resume or recommendation. You know, the proof of ministry is in the discipleship, the mentoring of people. And I think I see that here in Philippians chapter 4.
Oh, for sure we do. That's what Paul, you know, the testimony to his ministry were the lives that God used him to change those lives. The people that God brought along his pathway, that God gave Paul the opportunity to invest his life in them. You know, Paul did not count it a drudgery to invest his life in people. God had changed Paul's life. He loved Jesus Christ, and now he desired to see other people have the same transformation in their life that he had gone through. And that's a good reminder to me, you know, what ministry is all about. It's about people. You know, we all know when you work with people, you have problems sometimes. Paul had problems with people we see more than once, but Paul had a love for them, and his desire truly was to make a difference because Christ had changed him radically.
Let that be your focus today, my friends, because it's easy to get a task-oriented. It's easy to become a list doer. It's easy to be a time clock watcher. And yet, true ministry is all about the relational investments in people. Even today, wherever you're working, pay attention to the people around you. They are not scenery. They are the very reason why you are where you are. And I love what you said just a moment ago, John, about, yeah, when you work with people, it's not without its problems. And ironically, the very next verse, the Apostle Paul jumps into it. So he said, hey, you're my joy and crown. Now, listen, verse 2, I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing those names correctly, my friends. When it comes to Bible names, I just say it confidently and assume that I'm saying it correctly. Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So here were two women in the church at Philippi. And I think from the very next verse, we find that they were hardworking women. They were involved. They were witnesses. They were soul winners, to put it in that term. And yet they were struggling getting along.
You know, we don't know what their difficulty was for sure, and people debate what that is. But beyond doubt, whatever the situation was, they had some conflict that was a big enough of an issue in the church that Paul addressed it in an epistle to be read publicly. And I often think, Pastor, what these women must have felt like when this was read in the congregation and their names were mentioned.
You know, and it's a Bible principle that public sin calls for public rebuke. So the implication is that these women had a dispute that was known to everybody, that had gone public, that was inhibiting the gospel work of the church and ultimately affecting people's ability to have joy. The Apostle Paul said, listen, personal conflict can rob joy in your own life. Think about it, my friends. If you're harboring bitterness, or you have a grudge against somebody, or you're arguing, I mean, that robs you of your own joy. But not only that, it robs everybody else in the group of their joy. You know, when mom and dad don't get along, it affects the children. When a brother and sister can't get along, it's going to affect the tone at the dinner table. And so the Apostle Paul said, Euodias and Syntyche, you are affecting the attitude of the entire church.
You know, and Paul was not afraid to address this issue. You know, it's a good reminder to us that when there are public problems, you know, they usually don't take care of themselves. They need to be addressed in the right kind of fashion. And Paul here is addressing it because he realizes the health of the church is at stake here.
So a leader has to be willing to lovingly confront what everybody else sees. This was a public issue. Everybody saw it, but somebody had to say something about it. And apparently, even within the church itself, it had gone on. So it took somebody miles away in a prison cell to write a letter to say, enough, enough is enough. Be of the same mind in the Lord. And I find that interesting too, that the way by which the problem is to be resolved is not necessarily to reach common ground on the issue. No, the issue is insignificant. We don't even know what the issue is. It must have been big to them, but this resolution of the issue was be of the same mind in the Lord. And of course, we learned, my friends, a few episodes ago that that mind of the Lord is a mind of not pushing your own rights, a mind of humility, a mind of putting others first. Hey, both of you, who's wrong? Both of you. Who needs to admit they're wrong? Both of you. Who needs to humble herself? Both of you. So as each person in a conflict looks at himself, or in this case, at herself, and decides it's not about the other person or how wrong they are or potentially are, it's about how can I model the mind of Christ in this situation?
It reminds me of the proverb, only by pride cometh contention. And God has used that in my life many times in my own interpersonal relationships to say, John, you know, have humility, make this right and move on. And that's what these ladies needed to do. They needed to make it right. And as you mentioned, Pastor, as they grow closer to Jesus Christ, they're going to be right with each other. And so Paul is wanting them to do that, to have the mind that they ought to have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And interpersonal problems, let's face it, have neutralized many an effective church, an otherwise effective church. They have neutralized many youth groups, Christian schools. When we don't deal with interpersonal problems, it can be a cancer to any people group. And we're going to find that, let's pick up on this again next episode, John, because the Apostle Paul's not done yet. He said, now I'm making this appeal to you women, but then he also appealed to others that were on site they're dealing with them day by day, how they could also help resolve this interpersonal conflict. So I think we'll come back to that next episode. But my friends, I appreciate you joining us again today. My admonition to you is stand fast in the Lord. God has a great plan for you today, and I appreciate you joining us for just a few moments. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.